Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Thomas Manns. The Magic Mountain is a landmark modernist novel that follows Hans Kastarp, a practical young engineer who visits a cousin in a Swiss sanatorium and becomes drawn into its rarefied world. What begins as a short stay stretches into years as the mountain setting turns into a self-contained stage where illness, leisure, and intellect mingle. Mann uses the sanatorium as a metaphorical laboratory for European society on the eve of World War I, exploring how time, culture, politics, and desire can reshape a person's inner life. The book moves between sharp satire and philosophical seriousness, blending social observation with long conversations that test competing worldviews. Its pace is deliberate, inviting readers to experience the strange elasticity of time in an environment cut off from ordinary responsibilities. The Magic Mountain rewards patience with a richly textured portrait of education through experience, where ideas are lived and argued, not merely discussed. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a sanatorium as a mirror of Europe, the Burghof Sanatorium functions as more than a setting. It is a compressed model of pre-war European civilization. Patients arrive from different nations and social classes, carrying with them assumptions about status, morality, and progress. Within this insulated community, ordinary life is suspended and replaced by routines of rest cures, measurements, and rituals that become strangely normal. Mann uses this enclosure to intensify observation. Small gestures and habits reveal deep cultural patterns, while gossip and hierarchy echo the outside world structures. The mountain heightens a sense of separation, making the lowlands feel distant and almost unreal. Yet the tensions of the broader continent do not disappear. They reappear in debates, alliances, and subtle national rivalries. The sanatorium's mixture of privilege and vulnerability also complicates ideas of health and sickness, suggesting that social refinement can coexist with decay. By placing Hans Kastorp among people who treat illness as identity and leisure as necessity, the novel interrogates what a society chooses to ignore or romanticize. The result is a portrait of Europe poised between self-fascination and impending rupture. Secondly, time, routine, and the shaping of consciousness. One of the novel's central achievements is its exploration of how time is experienced rather than measured. Hans arrives with a normal sense of weeks and deadlines, but the sanatorium's repetitive schedule alters his perception. Days seem interchangeable, seasons blur, and what should be temporary becomes permanent through gradual acclimation. Mann turns this into a study of how environments train the mind, repeated rituals create a new reality, and the absence of ordinary work loosens the anchors that define identity. The story shows how boredom and comfort can be equally transformative, pushing a person toward reflection, fantasy, and new attachments. This slow temporal drift is not merely atmospheric, it shapes Hans' education. He begins to think in longer arcs, to question the meaning of productivity, and to confront the seductive idea that withdrawal from life can feel like insight. At the same time, the novel hints that time spent in suspension carries costs, including delayed maturity and distorted priorities. The sanatorium becomes a clock with its own logic, challenging readers to consider how habits and institutions quietly redefine what feels normal, urgent, or true. Thirdly, ideological duels and the education of Hans Kastorp. Hans Kastorp's development is guided less by formal instruction than by confrontations between strong personalities who argue over the future of Europe. The sanatorium encourages talk, and talk becomes a battleground where competing philosophies seek to claim Hans as a disciple. Through extended debates, the novel dramatizes tensions between reason and faith, liberal humanism and radical certainty, cosmopolitan ideals and authoritarian impulses. These discussions matter because they are not abstract exercises. They are tied to temperament, charisma, and moral risk. Hans is not a born intellectual, which makes his role especially revealing. He is impressionable, curious, and often unsure, learning how persuasive ideas can be when carried by confidence and style. Mann portrays education as exposure, where the learner must navigate not just arguments but the emotional rewards of belonging to a worldview. The sanatorium thus becomes a university of rhetoric, where the stakes include the shape of modern life. By watching Hans absorb, resist, and reinterpret what he hears, readers see how a person's values are formed amid pressure, contradiction, and the longing for certainty. Fourthly, illness, desire, and the seductions of decline. The Magic Mountain treats illness as both a physical condition and a cultural fascination. In the Burghof, sickness can confer status, provide narrative, and justify withdrawal from responsibility. Mann examines how easily an atmosphere of medical attention and refined leisure can turn decline into something alluring. For Hans, the presence of fragility intensifies emotion. Attraction, jealousy, and longing take on heightened meaning because life feels paused yet precarious. the novel explores desire in a setting where social rules are softened and where the body is constantly monitored, discussed, and interpreted. This creates an unusual blend of intimacy and distance. People reveal private details while remaining enclosed in their own routines. Mann also probes the ambiguity of sympathy, showing how care can become spectacle and how self-awareness can become self-indulgence. The boundary between genuine suffering and cultivated identity is repeatedly tested. By linking Eros and morbidity, the book suggests that modern sensibility can romanticize decay, mistaking it for depth or sophistication. This thematic thread challenges readers to consider how cultures aestheticize weakness and how individuals may collude in their own stagnation when it feels meaningful or safe. Lastly, satire, symbolism, and the approach of catastrophe. Although much of the novel unfolds in conversation and routine, an undercurrent of historical inevitability grows stronger. Mann balances satire of bourgeois habits with symbolic weight, using the mountain as a space where Europe seems to be dreaming while danger accumulates below. The humor is often sharp, aimed at pretension, fashionable ideas, and the self-importance of people who treat their opinions as destiny. Yet the satire does not cancel seriousness. It amplifies it by revealing how complacency and intellectual vanity can thrive in comfortable isolation. Symbolic episodes and tonal shifts remind readers that the sanatorium suspended time is not a permanent refuge. The outside world continues moving toward conflict, and the insulated community cannot ultimately escape history. This tension gives the novel's long middle sections their resonance. What looks like endless delay is also a countdown. Mann invites readers to notice how a culture can entertain itself with debates and distractions while ignoring signs of rupture. The result is a complex meditation on modernity, in which personal development, philosophical fashion, and political fate are intertwined. The mountain becomes a stage where the last arguments of an era are rehearsed before the curtain falls. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy ambitious literary fiction, philosophical debate, and novels that use setting as a grand metaphor. It is especially rewarding for anyone interested in European history, the cultural mood before World War I, and the way ideas shape everyday choices. Readers looking for fast plot will need patience, but those willing to sink into its rhythm will gain a rare kind of immersion, a felt understanding of how time, habit, and community can rewire perception. The Magic Mountain can benefit a reader's life by sharpening attention to the hidden forces that influence beliefs, from persuasive personalities to comfortable routines that quietly delay growth. It also encourages reflection on health, productivity, and the temptation to withdraw from difficult realities. Compared with many classic novels of ideas, Mann's work stands out for combining intellectual seriousness with vivid social comedy and psychological nuance. The sanatorium premise provides a focused stage where arguments become personal and symbolism remains anchored in daily detail. That blend of depth, atmosphere, and historical insight makes it worth buying as a cornerstone classic that continues to speak to modern anxieties about stagnation, distraction, and impending change. If you would like to support Thomas Mann, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.